Welcome to A Course in Miracles. All right. So, as we've said many times before in this meeting, you are you're sort of addicted. You're sort of drunk on the ego and the ways of the ego. And the biggest aspect of the ego, the only aspect of the ego that we're concerned with correction, for correction, something you'd want to actually change, the only aspect is separation. This idea of separation, that you could be separate and on your own. That you could be disconnected from, call it what you will, the truth, God, everything else. It is you against everything else. Somehow, deeply, this is your addiction, living in a body and in time and space. Body, time, space, none of that is bad. None of it's evil. Of course, says there is no sin. But this idea that you are cut off somehow, existing on your own, and when you die, you're out. Somehow, that idea excludes love. That idea excludes the entire concept of oneness is just thrown out the window. Even though, if you just took a minute to back up, you would see how much you have in common with everybody else. If you just backed up a little bit, as Course has us do, you would see the sameness instead of the differences. Even as the eyes report the differences, your spiritual perspective, your Christ mind, would see the similarities, see? And that's how we join. Whether it's an intimate relationship, or whether it's just you and the world. It's the separation we deal with here. And only because the separation and your deeply addicted behavior with that separation is the block to your awareness of love's presence right now. If love is... I'll get it? Well,
see, this is... What are you doing?
This is how you use A Course in Miracles to manage your life.
I think it's good.
Sucker's not going to bite me.
Yeah.
Big
yeah.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah. Okay, so... One of the tools, what I like about what we do in this meeting, is we get to work with methods of the ego, right? Hey, everybody, stop using your ego and you'll be happier. We done? Let's go home. No, it's using the ego. We're so addicted and drunk on it, we don't even know how we're using it. This is what the workbook does, isn't it? The workbook busts you hour by hour throughout the day and says, check out what your ego's doing now. How you're not choosing peace. How you're feeling like you're a victim. How you think attack in this situation would actually make your life a little better. Of course, the miracle says, whoa. Bust your ego. So, it is with these methods of the ego that we work in. Tonight, I want you to look at a particular aspect of the ego. And it is this. Symbol. What is a symbol? What does it mean that something is a symbol? How's that get used? Something is symbolizing something else. open your mind now. We're not just, we like you to start with the dictionary and all, but what I want you to do is find out how this concept of symbol might be more present in your world than you think. So start out simple. What is a symbol? Can you navigate this world without symbols?
Probably not.
I couldn't make it through that sentence without 20 of them.
Couldn't drive down the road.
Couldn't drive down the road?
Yeah.
Without some symbols?
Yeah. We use them all the time.
We use them all the time.
Stop, go, don't speed.
Don't drive off the edge of the road?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Turn ahead. Yeah. Pedestrian. What about when you're face to face with the one you love in the privacy of your home, having that conversation at about 11 o'clock and your bedtime is 10? Are there any symbols going on here? Hearing that. There too. So how do we use symbols?
Probably not the way we should.
I think symbols are used in relationship to everything else that we can classify.
Something we know something about. If you can't classify, you don't know anything about it, you can't use it anyway. Yeah. You know, these symbols, when you're in Russia, there's all sorts of, I can't make any sense of those symbols. I'm sure they mean a lot to the locals. I just walk right by. And if I don't know you well enough to know what it means when you hold one eye closed like this when we're talking, if I don't know if I'm in trouble or you need help, you don't understand, you can't hear me, the symbol's useless.
They're used to explain things that we don't know what we're looking at, but we have to...
It's a summary of all sorts of whatever's behind it. It explains. It's something. It's a direction.
It's an explanation, but it's not really what's there. It's our way of looking at stuff.
It's a way of looking at it. A simpler, can I say simpler? Is that fair? A simpler way of looking at, stop at this post with the red thing on top, or you will go to jail or hurt somebody. And we'll see you in court, and it'll be $387 on your first offense, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a stop sign.
But it's ascribing meaning, and some of that meaning might be communal, like a stop sign. Sometimes, though, it's just your lens, your opinion, your whatever. You categorize something, and you give it meaning.
Yes.
Like my house. It's a symbol of comfort for me, and it's a symbol of where I... am in charge, and it's also it's a symbol of I have to be a servant to it.
Right. I met a homeless guy once. We tried to help him out. Friend of a friend brought him on. We were putting a roof on a house together, and we said, "Listen, I think we can get you more work. You know, you were very helpful today." He said, "Please don't approach me again.
I don't want to do this work.
I don't want a job. I don't want a house. I live in a tent by the thing down San Jose. It's where I want to stay. Don't know. Leave me alone." He was very, very certain. He would look at your house different than you. Yeah. How much that so much is in? So, now, that leads me to the next point, which is we give the symbol all the meaning it has for us, and then we operate from that. Okay, here's where... back into rubber meets the road with Course in Miracles. It's lesson number 2. And why I say you're so drunk with separation and the ego is that these symbols are a priori. They're already existing. They're already existing and being used without question in your mind.
So it's a language? Language, different languages?
Yes, it's a language. Yeah.
Like mathematics has its own language.
Nice.
Spiritual has its own language.
Nice.
Or religious, I guess.
Yeah, the mathematics. No, music has its own language and symbols, and they mean so much. And if you can read the music, what you can do with it is just wonderful and quick.
Relationships have their own language. Quirks, looks, gestures.
Yes. Micro expressions.
Size.
Yeah, posture.
When you first talked about it, before you said the word death was a symbol, that came to my mind. The word death, C-D-E-A-T-H.
Yes.
And what it meant to me was, if I believe in that, then my ego has won.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It used to mean a whole lot more than that, but right now it means, if I believe in that, it's a test of my faith.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And that's our topic for the last couple of weeks here. Is this death, this belief in death, as being an obstacle to understanding life? So absolutely. The belief in death means your ego is one. And that there is no God. And there's no eternity. So it cancels out all sorts of stuff if death is real. Oh, death of the body is real. Yeah, we all die. Jesus died. It wasn't very pretty in the end. We all know that. That's not what we're talking about, is it? Good. This is a spiritual meeting. Where we're moving from your physical identity to your spiritual identity. A lot of people don't know they have a spiritual identity. Never been there. Never been there. Never been out of the body in any way, even in an imagination or even for a moment. But a lot of you have. A lot of you have. A lot of you have found that moment in meditation when you've sort of lost track of time and you breathe easy and you're like, whoa, there's more going on here. A lot of you have had the glimpse. We call it a holy instant. Yeah. Yeah.
You could say that symbols are better than words. They're closer to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, words are symbols, though.
Two. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they worked a lot better. Mm-hmm. Bill's saying, words are twice removed from reality. Symbols are once removed from reality.
Yes.
The revelation is like reality.
Yeah.
Or even a miracle. Could be
that experience.
That too.
Yeah.
Miracle's kind of like revelation.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Symbols, words are symbols of symbols. This is a quote from the Course, the Manual for Teachers. Words are symbols of symbols. Words are, we got that. The word's a symbol, we got that. But what the word is pointing at,
the symbol, yeah,
is a symbol.
Yeah.
Thus twice removed from reality. See what it's like when you get really drunk, really addicted to something, you get removed from reality. Words are symbols of symbols. So, love. Apple. It's a symbol of a symbol. The post. I say wooden post, like point. It's a symbol of that symbol. But we know that wooden post is... What is it really? Based on your background, you could describe that more than I did. I called it a post. You could say, well, he happens to be an architecture guy. And he says, well, that's called a center support beam, actually. It's a vertical beam. And it could also be called a center truss because of the way it holds the ceiling. And he says, to call it a post is just naive, frankly. You better stick to your area, he says. Whoa. But Bridget, whose biology background, she says, well, thank you very much, but it's a tree. It was once alive, and it was doing just fine before somebody cut it down. In fact, it was help contributing to a beautiful environment, offering shade and food and all sorts of things. And now, some architect drew it into this building, and got killed.
Naughty.
Now we know who to blame. And so it's a symbol of a symbol, isn't it? And I could go on and on, as I had before. You go into the physics of it, go into the chemistry of what that really is. It's not a poster or a tree. It's hydrogen, nitrogen, carbon, oxygen. That's what it is. It happens to be piled right there, like so it looks like. But really, it's just a periodic table, right?
Or it's also protons, neutrons, neutrinos,
energy,
all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah, nothing to do. The periodic table is a symbol, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's no hydrogen. That's made up. Carbon? This doesn't say. You can't microscope the C-A-R-B-O-N on the side as it rolls by. No. It's made up. There's no carbon. There's just proton, neutron, so many of those, and so many electrons. And add one more, and it's the next thing. The carbon switches over to molybdenum. That's made up too. But it's protons and neutrons. It's symbols of symbols. The more you look, the more you see. That's what we want to do with Course in Miracles, is break down how your ego, your thoughts, work. And then we can neutralize them. Because if you leave the symbol as having all the power of take your pick, anger, post, center support beam, the more you leave the symbol in its end stage, the more power it has over you, the more you see how it's the same as everything else, the less power it has over you. Yes. The more you see what?
I was going to say symbols differentiate and separate.
Beautiful. That's where we're going. That's where we're going, Walt. The symbol, as it gets more and more developed, it differentiates. Exactly the point. It
creates separation.
It creates and it facilitates separation. It can. Now, if it's a symbol, like, I don't know, what's a sign for unity or something, we could actually use it to go back to unity if you're using your Holy Spirit, we call in this book. The Holy Spirit is part of your mind, still connected to the truth. It's not something out there. There's about 20 words in the Course in Miracles that really aren't what you'd see in the dictionary. Holy Spirit's one of them. It's part of your mind. If your Holy Spirit is using your Holy Spirit to see what have you, it will say, well, how can we use this to join? How can we use this to return to unity, to return to a sharing relationship? And the ego would say, same thing, same word, same circumstance. Ego says, how can we use this to further separate so that I can control, so I can defend, so I can attack and make myself survive? Yeah. Okay, anybody want to say anything else about symbols before we jump in?
Well, I look at a hillside where I live.
Yes.
Look across the valley to the hillside.
Yes.
The oak trees.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the morning, fog's there. So I use that and look at it, and I try and find calmness, appreciation, love.
Yes.
If I look at it long enough,
yes,
I can get there.
Nice. Nice. Yes.
That's sort of what I'm hearing there is presence, like being really in the moment. And that was what I came to because the symbol I selected was my son, like Julie Phillips.
Yeah.
And how I have meaning of who I am at work and who I'm here and other people, like they like me or they don't like me in different settings. And yeah. But I thought, what undoes the symbol? What isn't a symbol here? And the only thing that I could think of or feel was that it's the whole instance of when I get very present that the ego is no longer there, yes. Then something yes. More eternal steps in.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, something more eternal steps, something more immediate steps mm-hmm. in. It's something not judged steps mm-hmm. in. Like looking across the canyon, and you're like, well, let me just let that be exactly as it is. Let me be that. Let me be in this present moment, just looking at that for a moment. Then all of the other judgmental details disappear. Whatever is outside of this moment goes. And that of course, is what we call going inward. Inward to the present moment. You don't go out to find your peace. You go in. Beautiful. Thank you for that, Kenny. Anybody else want to say something about symbols before we jump in?
So the separation we see from when we look at a symbol,
yes,
is what makes it removed from reality.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the symbol...
So if you can see that part, you can let it go, you can get closer to reality.
That's right. If you can see past the symbol itself, the symbol's not being what it represents. If you can see past that, now you have a way to move closer to what it shares with everything else. I mean, I'm just skipping to the end here.
Yeah,
to whatever you're looking at, it shares with everything else. I'm just skipping right to the punchline. Okay? We could, we could back up. We could say, well, with your purpose today. We could say, with your relationship. We could say, with you being a honorable person. No. The punchline is, with everything else. Okay? All right.
I think there are
yes.
Arbitrary designations for reality, and it's what we use to construct our belief system.
It's therefore, yes, and therefore they can make us blind. Right. If it's a belief system in separation, it just helps to keep us blind.
And keeps the separation going, because your version of what those symbols stand for and mean might be different from someone else's.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So true. So true. So common. Yeah. It's true. It's true.
Why would you want to be separated?
Why would you want to be separated?
Seem like a good idea.
I think it's called addiction. We've been trained and trained and trained to be separated. It's an addiction.
I think it's fascinating, like the idea of, like, I can think lots of reasons why I would want to be separate. They don't have to make any sense, but in the world, I think coming from, like, why would anyone want to be separate? Seems to me like, well, I think that's really a neat question. Except 99% of my life, people don't want to be a homeless person living under the bridge down by the river. I don't want to be that. So for me, the defense mechanism, so that I'm not actually living down by the river under the bridge, scrounging food in garbage cans and being looked at a certain way, that's my world, right? And one of the ways I'm going, I'm not that, mm-hmm. is through separation. Mm-hmm. Now it's taken decades to just get a little bit beyond that. Mm-hmm. A little beyond that, meaning completely different reality.
Yes, yes.
But the idea, I go out in the world and I come across dozens of people a day. They're not here, they're doing whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. Often it's all kinds of things people are doing. But the very idea that, like, why would anyone be separate? Mm-hmm. They conflict with their neighbors. They have
to be separate anyway, by definition.
Okay, so on this level, you have no choice, by definition, using the eyes and gravity.
Whether you want to be or not, you are. You
Social security are. Number, yeah, you're different gender. So right away, kind of cut everything in half, whether male or female, in birth, whatever genitals you got. So it was checkbox, male or female. So there's separation in the world. All right.
We all got bodies and they all look different.
And they all look different. Okay.
Age.
So you bet. Yeah. Are you tall or are you short? Are you average? Okay, so on and on, right? So the separation is innocent. The idea of differences is innocent. Homeless person, like this Tommy was his name. He did not want a house. If I gave him a house, he would just walk right through the back door and keep going.
Sleep in the yard.
He would sleep in the yard. I get out of here. Yeah, he really, really honestly did not want a house or anything to do with it, or the headaches or the bills. No. Separation, the differences are not a problem. In fact, if we took separation, if we took the cut off from love aspect away, from separation. The genesis of it was a creative act. It was the power of creation allowed the separation. The ability for you to artistically express yourself, let's say, he likes to paint, I'm making this up, he likes to paint horses. It turns out after a while he's really good at it. He can make the mane flow and, wow, it's great. I'm a sculptor. And I like to, I do that differently than he does. I sculpt. Somebody else doesn't do any of that stuff. They think it's so, you know, static compared to music. They're a musician. And they fill the room with music. And their heart is full when they do that. Separate, separate, different, different. All these. Okay? So we do not need to demonize separation. When we talk separation in A Course in Miracles, you want to understand that what it is that you exist. Your identity is separate from the source. You could do whatever you want with it, and you do, and you will, and you're free to do so.
I mean, I really appreciate what you said. I mean, to me, that's like really neat.
Yes,
it's like it to me that just coming from that.
Yes.
It's just helpful.
Absolutely.
Because I feel separate.
Yes.
Most of the time.
Yes.
And so it's like putting it differently. I go, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yes.
Because I can look at this differently, and yes. I can.
Yes.
Because I have to try to make up this other stuff.
Yes, so now there's two levels of the Course in Miracles. The material level of expression, and then the spiritual level of being. The material level, if you could own your separation, you'd be a great father, brother, son, artist, helper, whatever it is. If you can't own it and you reject it, it's going to be chaos for you. Because as Brother John said, we're all here, separate.
Yeah, and like the addiction too. The addiction, is that a question? Why would anybody want to be separate?
Yes,
gets
yes.
my ego, yes. intellect working.
Thank you.
To answer that question. Why? Because that's a habit I have.
Yeah.
Right, and I'm invested in that habit. Yeah. And I don't even think you said it. It was. It's almost like. You didn't just say that to me to ask me a question to get me to extrapolate about
it's no, you.
It's not because of because there's symbolism going on.
Yes.
Right now, the idea of a question
yes.
and an answer.
Yes.
And all I have to do is look at it differently. Like, why would I? Why would anybody want to be separate?
Brother John says you have no choice.
Or why would anybody?
He says you are separate. What do you mean want to be separate? What do you mean want to be? You are on that level. Course in Miracles says, hey, let's go to the spiritual level. Let's visit the spiritual level.
So the question, why would anybody want to be in union? Now that's something different or whatever, unified, whatever we talk
yes,
about it.
Yes.
So I can let go, but like that to me, like all it takes is a change of those symbols.
Yes.
And I'm like in a totally different world.
Yes. Right?
To me, that's
thank
how
you.
Simple it.
Different world. That's the point of why I'm making my distinction tonight between this being we have a spiritual discussion and we have a physical discussion. It is a different world.
You know, it's interesting that you're talking about that because Anthony,
yes?
When we went to see Bernard, his question was, why would God create a world like this?
Uh-huh.
And, of course, right. The answer is God didn't. But on the other hand, something created this.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of a blip. So I like what you said, is that this is just a creative thing, and how we interpret it is what causes us to have problems with it.
Yes. And in our fantastic effort to get deeper and deeper into having a separate existence, getting deeper and deeper to that, we decided, well, imagine, I'm just not feeling it because I still know God is love. Let me cut off God is love. Let me cut off I am from God, therefore I am love. Let me just remove that and see if I can really feel this whole separate invention that I've got going on here. boop. Page 586 in this book, it says, well, to do that, you had to remember now not to laugh at that idea. And then you could take it seriously. Of Course in Miracles says, all the power that you have. You're an extension of God. Whoa, are you powerful. The one thing you cannot do, forget about it, you can't do this. You are limited. One thing you can't do, even with the power of God that's invested in you as a child of God, the one thing you can't do is to be other than you are. Look at page 21 for starters. In the text, and it's page 463. Okay, this is way into the book, and this is a section called The Last Unanswered Question. This is some of the metaphysics of any true spiritual journey where you're going to plumb the depths and actually challenge your beliefs. This is one of the ways Course in Miracles does this. Okay. Just look at the italics. David, would you read for us 11 through 14 those italics? Mm-hmm.
Do I desire a world I rule instead of one that rules me? Do I desire a world where I am powerful instead of helpless? Do I desire a world in which I have no enemies and cannot sin?
Okay, stop there. Pretty softball questions. No enemies, that's good. I'm powerful, that's good. Yeah, I'm liking this. Yeah. I'm liking this. Please continue.
And do I want to see what I denied because it is the truth?
Gulp. You see the word because highlighted there.
Yep.
Do I want to see what I denied? Do I want to? Do you feel it? Do I want to see what I denied and am still denying for my own convenience? I am denying it. I run my life that way, frankly.
Yeah, when I really got into reading this before, I used to go, whoa. I read these, well, that's easy, but I've been denying all of those first three things. I was like, okay. That's the whole thing. We look back here and it's like, sounds cool, all this cool stuff, but we can't really see it completely. We're like blind.
It's very convenient to continue to do what you've always been doing.
Yeah. And then once you do see it, you gotta break that habit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that sometimes is an issue.
Do you want to see what I denied because it is the truth? So this is important to Course in Miracles because it's going to be dropping on you very simple truths that won't be welcome. One of them is, I am not a body, I am free, for I am still as God created me. What? Are you serious? Is that what we're doing? I just want to have a better life.
Yes, the formlessness of God.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Formlessness of God.
Yeah.
It's right towards the end. Man, I like that statement.
Yeah.
The formlessness of God.
Okay, I'm confused.
Yep. I hope so. Yes.
I'm doing it right there.
Well, I think it's really interesting, like, how much I will fill up a spot, a time of silence or quietness. I can say I want quietness and I want calmness and I want, but it doesn't take very long for me to fill that with something else. And when I read what it says here is the truth, is that I do this sort of stuff to avoid the present moment dawning on me.
Stay with that, buddy.
Yeah.
Because that's a hard truth to face. That beautiful canyon view, the peace of just looking at what's there and feeling connected and at ease with that for a few moments. Would you to carry that attitude through your whole day? What a great day! And somehow that's not attractive enough to do. And we're going to be getting into that in this next page. This next section really hits it. So thank you for bringing that up. And I'll tell you, that's where the rubber meets the road. Some of these subtle fears. Okay, so.
And not so subtle.
Yeah, very good, Dan. Do I want to see what I denied? Because it is the truth. Okay, and of course, in the next sentence, it says, you may have already answered the first three questions, but not yet the last. This one seems to be fearful and unlike the others. Okay. Turn to page 398. Turn back, I don't know, was it 50 pages or something? 60. Turn back to page 398 in the text and look at this. Chapter 19, where we happen to be, the attainment of peace. And look at paragraph 1. Stephen, would you read for us paragraph 1?
We said before that when a situation has been dedicated wholly to truth, peace is inevitable. Its attainment is the criterion by which the wholeness of the dedication can be safely assumed. Yet we also said that peace without faith will never be attained, for what is dedicated to truth as its only goal is brought to truth by faith. This faith encompasses everyone involved, for only thus the situation is perceived as meaningful and as a whole, and everyone must be involved in it, or else your faith is limited and your dedication incomplete.
Wow. Okay, so this is chapter 19. This is after we've gone through chapters 16, 17, 18, where we go from the special relationship to the holy relationship. We go from exclusive managing to inclusive managing, where you're in a conversation with somebody together, instead of trying to make sure you look good and you get the points at the end. So, we said before that when a situation has been dedicated wholly to truth, peace is inevitable. Peace's attainment is a criterion by which the wholeness of the dedication can be safely assumed. Yet we also said that peace without faith will never be attained. For what is dedicated to truth as its only goal is brought to truth by faith. Wow. There is an F word. Faith. What does it mean? Anybody take a stab at that? What does faith mean?
Acting. Trust.
Say it again. Acting. Trust. Very good.
Belief without evidence.
Belief without evidence.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Or without experience.
Yeah.
For sure. And yet you're going to act anyway. And you're going, this is what trust is. You're going to act anyway, although you do not know. You've got some idea that this is what I want, this is good, so I shall do it. Patience has that quality, doesn't it?
I don't know.
You don't really want?
Yeah, I don't know.
I
never
have. I don't have time to think about that. Isn't patience handy in a loving relationship?
Probably the number one criteria.
Isn't it inconvenient sometimes when you're just trying to tell the person what they need to know because you know you're right? They're just not listening. Just listen. I'll tell you. No time to listen to your side.
Oh, yeah.
It's faith. You would need faith somehow that giving the other person some space might actually work out better. That would be faith. You're going to have to pretend a bit. Trust that it's a good idea.
I like the experience part of the term because, you know, we don't realize that this whole freaking book's about experience. Because there is no clarification of terms if you don't understand that it means that you need experience.
When experience comes, faith and trust are gone. It's knowing. When you know, you no longer need faith or trust or belief. The concept also is so beyond you, behind, it's done, it, you know. And the next step beyond that is being.
Yeah, that's what I call the trilogy. Knowing, experiencing, being, all in one unit.
Yeah, that's right.
I like it. It
yes.
works.
Yes.
Each one leads to something.
Yes. With A Course in Miracles, we are learning to unlearn the ways of the ego. For example, like the attack. Attack will get you somewhere. Just up the volume or press the verbal button, do the right insult or what. The attack, and you'll get your way. The other person will back off, and you'll be better for it, and you'll sleep better if you just attack correctly. Attack that political person who doesn't agree with you correctly, and you'll be better off, right?
And you will have validated your own belief.
You will have. This is the ego. This is the, yeah, yeah. So, yes.
So, currently, in the past and currently, when I attack or do something that's against the all-knowing being, my brain or my ego says it's right, but I don't feel great.
Beautiful.
So that's being. The knowing part of it of not feeling well is being.
Yeah. Your being is calling. Yes, it is. You're sensitive to your being. You have only one being. You don't actually have an ego as a being. We pretend to be an ego, but we are not.
Okay.
So yes, that's absolutely correct. You're sensitive enough to hear your being.
Well, I don't do anything about it. I'm just aware of it.
I love it. That's honest. I love it. I love that candor. Absolutely correct.
Well, I like the fact that so you can be aware of the fact that I don't feel good.
It's yes.
Attacking doesn't make me feel good.
Yes.
But then why? So
at one.
But what?
Ask a question again.
Okay. I agree with you completely. Attacking doesn't make me feel good, but you still want to do it because you don't want to be perceived as whatever.
Because the attack appears to have value to you.
You
and
know
you
it.
Don't know how to be like the fog across the canyon, so natural and simple and aligned. You do not know how to be you.
No.
You do know how to attack, how to defend, how to save face. Okay, you do know how to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Where this is. Thank you. That kind of candor surfaces the ego. The ego has a plan. By the way, the ego starts out with two big words, whether it uses them or not, they're always there. The ego's two words are, I know. The Holy Spirit would have you try something different. I do not know. Ah, those are fighting words to the ego. But, as the Course says, this is a doorway to your awakening. Is not the way the ego wants to go. So you're a fool if you don't know. If you don't know, you better find out quick so you can defend yourself properly or own something. Of course, somebody says, fine, it's material world. Go for it. Go get a law degree and do whatever you need to do to really jack that up. But if you want to have a spiritual awakening, you want to be free, it will be, I do not know. Take that into your next meditation. Follow it. And see how much light floods in to support you. Why? Because I do not know, it's probably the only honest thing you can say.
Well, you know, like this.
You don't know what that post is.
I don't know, and then I'll be made even more painfully aware.
Painfully
aware.
How much
support comes to the fact that I don't know, and other information to make it clear
yes.
how correct I was with just that.
I love it. You gotta love it.
You gotta love it. But it's a rude awakening. Can be a rude awakening.
Oh, it's going to be a rude awakening.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Yes, but the simplicity and the peace that shows up as the support comes in when you really own, I do not know, that feels good. And if, why? Because it's honest.
So, I couldn't possibly know what the spiritual life is because I've never really opened my eyes to it. So how could I possibly know? Is that what you're
thinking? You can know the pain you feel.
It's so brief.
Well, so what? You still pay attention to it and you say,
how supportive Luann was to be. That's wonderful. The opposite tact, I would say. I'm not very supportive. You just want to support her. So, and I think it's beautiful. Saying it's okay, you feel that way, that informs you. I picked the opposite.
Yes. So a teacup that is full, nothing else can enter. It's done. It's set. A teacup that is empty, infinite possibilities. But what could go there? I do not know is empty teacup. Open now. Available. To be filled. The ego keeps it full to the brim. And will keep
what? A lot of things you can say are true, and then every time you say one of them, you don't feel good. And you say, okay, well, that's not the right one. Must be another one that I know somewhere.
Let peace be your guide.
Yeah. And well, eventually, when that happened to me one time, I said, I was so frustrated because I couldn't come up with the right thing because I didn't feel good about it. They had to be right, but they didn't feel good. And I finally said, ah, I need a miracle. And then I felt peace. Because I let go of thinking I knew.
Okay. Ego stuff we're talking about, right? I noticed the tact and all the control and everything it creates. Right? I realize it's just the ego's way of delaying. It's a delaying maneuver.
Yes.
And when you see it, they realize that's what's really going on. And maybe because we don't want to admit we're wrong, we're just going to delay this whole situation here.
Yes, you got to delay.
I see it that way.
You got to delay the situation in order to be separate.
Yeah.
In order to experience a separation, there has to be a delay.
And when I see it that way, I go, "Whoa, that's really not that's doing it." Then you can kind of pause and maybe come up with a better answer.
It makes all a delay. Something makes all sorts of room for victim and separation. It's the opposite, you know. It's like it's feeding into that there is a cause and an effect later, and then you the delay it's not present. See,
so it's like a distraction.
Like a distraction. Well,
it's like
excellent.
A distraction. It just takes you on spin-offs.
Excellent.
And
yes.
And all the other things that come along. With
yes.
That.
And as we learned in, what's chapter 17 maybe? Is there 16? It says the ego loves to put distractions in our communications and our special relationships, especially when you're losing the fight. Remind him that he backed into your car last month and you had to spend a day off of work to get it fixed, even though you're not talking about that at all. But wouldn't it be handy to just get him under your thumb right now? The distraction. Yes. Out of this time, out of this space, on some other topic. Bust the ego. Don't go there. Stay present. That allows the holy relationship. Very good. Now, that brings us back to symbol. Because a symbol believed for its power is a distraction for what is underneath, for what it means. Let's go take a look at what we're talking about. In tonight's reading, we're on page 419. 419 in the text. Okay, keep the idea symbol in the back of your head as we work our way through this.
I have something to say about
please.
What you just said about a distraction.
Yes.
I have a neighbor whose name is Lorraine.
Okay.
And when I think of her as this other person, she's really present with my buttons. But when I think of her as being a reflection of me that I don't like, something about me that I don't like. It's totally different.
Yes.
What's that? So if you don't like somebody, turn around and realize you have that characteristic.
Yeah.
So what I see is a distraction, but what I don't see is it's about me.
The reflection.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know the simple saying, you spot it, you got it. You spot it, you got it. Because you're making a judgment. You're making that judgment, and then you're living by it. and then you're, and then you are suffering by it, and as A Course in Miracles says directly, you're crucifying yourself with it. Mm-hmm. It's you crucified yourself.
Yeah, I get really churned up.
Yeah, and we can blame her for doing the crucifying. Yeah. Yeah, it's so good. Yes.
Well, or just, I don't know, the other day having a difficult time and asking for Holy Spirit and being so frustrated and angry and frustrated and angry. And I felt like Sybil. I mean, I was just like, I hate this. No, this is, you know, God, I love this. No, I hate this. No, this is love. Yeah. You know, just grasping and feeling, yes. Help me, help me.
Yes. Yes.
And just like to the point of exhaustion.
Yes, 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 yes.
And
then
it was like the quiet after the storm, but it just felt, it was just horrible to hit that frustration.
Yes.
And keep out, you know, that's where the faith of coming, you know, hopefully something breaks me.
Yes.
That I just quiet and just... Yes.
That is a passage we all go through as we approach a spiritual awakening, a spiritual identity. It's a passage you go through because the old way of hating something actually has some juice to it. It has some power to it, so we keep going with the attack or what have you, because it's familiar and it kind of offers a strength. We don't believe in it anymore. I don't want to be a strong attacker. It doesn't work out well. I want to find another way. But when I attack, I might get... And then the emotions stir up and then you feed on it, right? So Julie once popped out a couple of great words that works for this. And that's a vacillation, we called it. Is where you think, I don't want to attack. Oh, I feel better when I'm not the attacker. But, you know, it just pisses me off. Right? The emotion comes back up and the chemicals flow because your body is so capable of providing that story, you keep falling into it. And then your mind calls you back to your Course in Miracles, peace of mind, saying, wait a minute, just take a step back, things will be easier. Oh my God, they're easier right now. But then if I got to do... Okay, vacillation. Okay? What happens is you get past that and you look back upon it and say, you know what, I could... Now that it's over, I could have done the whole thing without fretting. I could have done the whole thing with a peace of mind. I could have hired the lawyer, gone to court, paid the fees, sat through two different hearings just to get the result peacefully. Or I could have been even more angry. I would have had even more peaceful, would have been better, and I could have done it. Now you know. Now you know something, see? So the next time you have to deal with that person or a court or whatever, I'm making that up, you get in a cop pulls you over, a great example of a huge spike in all sorts of stuff. You've been pulled over enough, pretty soon you realize, I don't have to get that excited. Let me get my license out now. And then the peace, because you have knowledge. The faith now is easier to follow, then it's going to be okay. Do you see? These passages occur as we go through. So now, with Course in Miracles, we do this with your entire ego existence, right? You can now start to oscillate. Vacillate is really hard and it hurts. I hate, I love, I hate, I love. Oh man, I love, you said it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. Now, instead, were you to be a little more present and call in your Holy Spirit, even while you're busy trying to hate, you'll have what Julie and I were calling an oscillation. Which is a very quick visiting of two sides. A vacillation is a very slow, slogging one side and slamming over to the other, trying to reconcile. An oscillation would be really in the same moment you see both sides. I see what the ego's up to, and I hear what the Holy Spirit is asking me to do. I can choose which one I will do now. A little less speak to me.
I had an experience of that actually just yesterday, and feel fortunate in having had that experience because I've been slogging along for a while. Mm-hmm. But my day just started off miserable right from the get-go. Like, this person just came to me, like, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, and, like, a lot, like, kind of accusatory. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be defensive, so I was sort of doing the opposite. Like, I'll fix and I'll do that. But either way, it didn't even matter. I left the interaction and I was just like, I just knew, like, it did not matter what I could my brain wanted to fix it, and I started coming up with, like, if I just said this, or, you know, I should actually stand up for myself about that one, or, you know, and I wanted to fix, and I kept trying to, and but I knew, like, the instant the person left, I went and closed the door, and I said, I just need to sit and get quiet. I just knew, and so I tried a couple of my things to, like, you know, reset, like, you know, turn it over to the Holy Spirit, or saying I do not know. And it was hard because my brain wanted to, every once in a while I was drifting back to a fix, but I just knew that there was not going to be a resolution through that way, period. There was not. And so I just decided not to ruminate on it, and just to keep, like, I sat with it for a little while, and it wasn't totally resolved, but I wasn't at total peace, but I decided I wasn't going to ruminate on it, and I started moving through the rest of my day, and literally it was a day of, like, not being able to please anyone. Like, one thing after another, it was like, everyone was just going to be angry at me, because it was just that kind of day. But I just held on to, like, I'm not going to, like, let this drag me down. And literally by the end of the day, I had one exchange with three people that were so upset about something with their facilities of their room, and it didn't matter that something was wrong with that room. We had this beautiful dialogue about what was going right, and da da da. And I ended my day saying, "Well, that was a pretty decent day," but it just felt so wrong. And but I just kept surrendering because I did not. I just knew there was no resolution if I tried to find the answer.
Yes.
And that, for me, I guess the word faith is really strong right now, because I haven't had a lot of that lately, but it was just so, I was very much there yesterday.
Beautiful.
I wouldn't take anything else for an answer.
Beautiful. You actually controlled what you could. Mm-hmm. You can't control those students and those keys and those apartments and all those people and their agendas and their day and the time and the hour and the clock, but you could control you. And you are among all of them. This is the essence of the setting the goal section that we've talked about so much. Of Course in Miracles says you would set before you the situation the outcome you'd like to have, and then dive in. Ego says no. Wait till 5 o'clock and decide whether it was a good day or not. How people treated you? Were you successful? Did it work out? That's the ego's way. Holy Spirit's way is what you did. Which is, you know what? I could choose peace instead of this right now. And then I'll have a peaceful day as I navigate all this hell.
Well, also because I knew that 3 days from now, none of it was going to matter.
No.
So then it's like, why? I don't know.
Oh my God, that's a whole other aspect of the emptiness of the world.
Yeah.
It will not matter.
It's so much bigger than this.
In a number of days, whatever you're going through, in a number of days, it won't matter. All right, so maybe it's 1,000 days.
It does matter.
It seems to matter this week, you know. But eventually, I mean, the thing you cried about 4 years ago.
You know, it's not going to matter. It's going to lose its power.
It'll lose its power. It'll be completely empty.
And there's only now.
You all had something to complain about 4 or 5 years ago. Everybody here had something to complain about. You don't even remember what it was.
I'm pretty sure it's the same thing for me.
Oh, is it?
I don't know what it is anymore, but I'm pretty sure it's the same. I don't know what it is exactly.
It's identity, but it's the same.
What I learned today from something I did was, you've always said what we're always wanting was that we're all crying for love.
Yes.
And what I learned today was that at the base of every upset I might have is that cry for love.
Yes.
And if I figure out, if I can remember that, then I can say to myself, is feeling this way, thinking this way, doing this way going to get me what I want? And usually the answer is absolutely no. And so then I have to let it go, because what I really want is love.
Yes. Julie gave herself love. Mm-hmm. She sat down and was quiet. She went to her little garden. And she says, let me just come and make an altar in my mind where I know I'm at peace. Just for a minute, and then I'll unlock the door and deal with the rest of the day. But what happens from that is a shift in perception about what she is. She is not her problem. She is not the people complaining about her. She is not her day.
But it also affects me as to how I think about people. Mm-hmm. Because the other thing I want, if you get what you receive, what I want is love. So then I say, well, is this going to be a way for me to love them so mm-hmm. I can get what I want?
Very good. As you give, you receive.
And so therefore, I have to say no. If I think this way about them, I'm not going to get any love from them. I'm not going to be able to give them love.
There you go.
Because I'm not going to feel like giving them love.
Your being is calling you. As Sharon was putting it, your being was calling you, kind of tapping the shoulder. Hey, what about love? As you gripped your fingers and your knuckles are all white and a little tap on your shoulder, what about love? Well, what would that look
actually,
like?
Actually, the tap is enough. And no, it's a start. It's enough.
Yes.
I've always said, if you don't do what God wants, he'll tap you on the shoulder. If you don't, when he doesn't do what he wants, he'll kick you in the butt.
Well, what can we do about this practically? You know, what if you're having a really hard day? What can you practically do? Well, Julie, would you read for us paragraph 11 on page 419?
Okay. When anything seems to you to be a source of fear, when any situation strikes you with terror and makes your body tremble, and the cold sweat of fear comes over it, remember it is always for one reason. The ego has perceived it as a symbol of fear, a sign of sin and death. Remember then that neither sign nor symbol should be confused with source, for they must stand for something other than themselves. Their meaning cannot lie in them, but must be sought in what they represent, and they may thus mean everything or nothing, according to the truth or falsity of the idea which they reflect. Confronted with such seeming uncertainty of meaning, judge it not. Remember the holy presence of the one given to you to be the source of judgment. Give it to him and say for you. Give it to him for you and say.
He's like, ego says, I'm not going to do this. Ego says, you may not read this.
I will say that again. Give it to him to judge for you and say, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Let me not see it as a sign of sin and death, nor use it for destruction. Teach me how not to make of it an obstacle to peace, but let you use it for me to facilitate its coming.
So in other words, please change this from a symbol of loss, destruction, and death. Whatever it is you're dealing with, please change it from a symbol of that and show me how this is a symbol of peace. Turn this around.
So it doesn't matter what any of it, none of it matters. Because none of it matters.
Well, that's true. But what does matter is your being.
Because it always comes back to that.
Yes.
It's part of the being, so it doesn't...
It's easy, you know, so when you're aligned with your being, you're in truth and you're honest. When you're aligned with your ego, which is loss, worthlessness, anger, hatred, defensive, you're lying. Nobody wants to be a liar. It's not peaceful. So when you can hear your being call, and you can turn in that direction, nothing else matters. Julie gave us a great example. Yeah. Her day was just collapsing, crushing her, and she was going to start saying things that she didn't want to say and be ways she didn't want to be. But her being said, how about we go still? Let's go pull some of these tools out that we've used and we know from Course in Miracles, and you have the power to choose peace and be peaceful. I would really like some peace right now, she said. I mean, I just hope I can actually do it. She goes and sits down and she gets peace. She takes a few easy breaths. That was her being calling, the truth of her calling. She got honest in those moments. She was going dishonest with, if I just tell everybody what to say and what to do, I'll be happy. If they just stop doing what they're doing, I would be happy. That's the ego. She says, I know that's not right. Mm-hmm. Her being says, get still and go to what's most important. And in this world, what's most important is your peace of mind. Because if you're not peaceful,
nothing you touch is going to be peaceful.
The ego's running the game.
You're not loving.
You can't be loving if you're not peaceful. You can't be. Mm-hmm. So it turns out Course in Miracles beautifully describes it this way. It says peace, well, I ad-lib this a little bit, but peace is the soil from which grows all things you want. No soil, no growth. No manifestation of the plant without the soil.
So that's just a great example she gave. I'm going to interrupt you. I don't know.
Go.
Because I think you're really opening up. What you're saying, this is Sharon.
Yes.
What you're saying is really like opening things up for me, and I appreciate it because of my habits. But what Julie's talking about was going to peace. And it's like a habit. It starts to be the opposite. It's a new habit because if I sit there in that space of discomfort and try to think with my brain and go all, I will never get there because I'm already anxious. The habit of saying, oh, you know what? Going to peace. I can choose peace instead of this. That has worked.
Yes.
For me, I'm saying that experience.
Yes.
Of going, hey, I tried this and it worked.
Yes.
And my day was better
yes.
because of it.
Yes.
And looking in hindsight and go, wow, I kind of went for peace, but I was agitated. I just chose peace, tried my best to be quiet. Things got better. Mm-hmm. What did I learn from that? What did I learn from that was, wow, that seemed to work. I could use more of that. I have a tiny bit of understanding because I tried it.
Yes.
Before
and
that.
Can do it.
Before
and that you can do it.
Okay.
And the worse circumstances where you try it, the more the less you need faith and trust. You'll need it in that moment, perhaps. But when you successfully know that you can choose peace, the addiction is set deeper toward peace now, and away from loss, hatred, anxiety, etc. Beautifully said.
I can pull back. I can go into the ego mind of trying to think my way out of it. As a defense mechanism.
Yes.
As an attack.
Yes.
Of trying to understand something 100%
yes.
before I'm going to try it.
Yes.
That's the old step in, and it takes some kind of miraculous thing to make me do it without.
Yes.
And so now, wow, because that's what I'm talking about. That, I, wow, you know.
Stefan, you're a witness all through your day. Every hour. Every minute in each hour is going to be a witness to which one you're choosing. Every second in each minute in each hour is going to show you what you're doing to yourself. Turn to page 552 in the text.
It's getting a little cold in here. Is it possible to shut the window a little bit, please?
You'll be all right.
553.
552.
Thank you.
And then, Julie, would you throw a blanket to Luann?
No, thank you. I mean, she was shivering, my legs are cold.
I'm good.
All right, so throw a blanket to them just in case we have to open the window. Thank you, Julie.
Yep.
552, page 13.
Thank you.
What would you read for us? 552, paragraph 13.
Mm-hmm. Each day, and every minute in each day, and every instant that each minute holds, you but relive the single instant when the time of terror took the place of love. And so you die each day to live again, until you cross the gap between the past and present, which is not a gap at all. Such is each life. A seeming interval from birth to death and on to life again. A repetition of an instant gone by long ago that cannot be relived. And all the time is but the mad belief that what is over is still here and now.
Would you read just the first sentence of the next paragraph too, just for summary?
Forgive the past and let it go, for it is gone.
It is gone. Bridget, would you read that same paragraph again?
I could read that first sentence. Forget.
Would you? Own it, Kenny. Gone. Yes. Have somehow there's the simple truth needs to be stated and read out loud. It's very helpful. Thank you, Kenny. He doesn't read much, but when he does, it matters.
Richie, you're on.
Go ahead and read that paragraph.
So we're 13.
Yeah.
Each day, and every minute in each day, and every instant that each minute holds, you but relive the single instant when the time of terror took the place of love. And so you die each day to live again until you cross the gap between the past and the present, which is not a gap at all. Such is each life, a seeming interval from birth to death, and on to life again, a repetition of an instant gone by long ago that cannot be relived. And all of time is but a mad belief that what is over is still here and now.
And please read the next sentence.
Forgive the past and let it go, for it is gone.
Straight up. You gotta bust this loop that the ego would have you go through of looking at the past, reliving it, and blocking the present. Freedom is now. It always has been. Seek no further than your own mind to release, as Julie did. She went in. Remember Olchi? Olchi's closet? We had a gal here. She had a couple of kids and another one on the way. And she goes, God! Things would just blow out, the Cheerios, whatever happened, and she would just go in the closet and click it shut for a couple of seconds and say, how is this going to be good? That was her miracle moment. She would drop the whole idea of how bad it was and allow that this is going to be good, and she'd walk back out and deal with it. She just got present. The ego's insidious way of keeping things in our past as real and haunting us is a great way to keep you separate from love. Indeed.
So all the baggage you're bringing around you, this is what it is?
This is what it is. Exactly. Yes.
But it's not really past because it's just, we aren't really going anywhere. We're just reliving this over and over and over. So it's not in the past at all. It's right now.
We've never gotten
beyond that.
Okay. So if you're letting it.
Yeah.
Right? You're blocking the present with this idea of the past in the present. Very good, Walt. That's right. There's no past. There's your ability to be present being used with an idea of the past, which is gone. It's over. As that last sentence said. It's over. It's gone. You're using up your life with a fantasy of some other time. Oh my God, there you go again!
Recycling the loop.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're seeing the same stuff only in different versions all the time.
A fantasy of the past!
Right.
Using up your life in the present moment. Stop that. I mean, that's a shortcut. Stop that.
Well, it still seems to be a process. There seems to be a process that I make up. Because as long as I'm attached to that past and carry, I still think there's some value in it. If I'm still, and that's going to be a human thing for me, and I deal with it.
Until you hear your being call.
Right, but I'm saying that I can intellectually go, okay, but part of, okay, well, tomorrow I hear my being call. But one thing I've learned, I don't know, there's something I've experienced. And that feeling is when I get really peaceful.
Yes.
Then there's something that I value much more than hanging on to that.
Like
past.
That. Yes,
but,
thank you.
But I'm going to have to experience that.
Yes, you will.
Not just not just whatever.
High five, fist bump. You know, until it's an experience, they're just words. They're empty words. And we're reading them, we're talking about them, but until you experience this power, this freedom, until you experience this peace, until you experience your being actually coming up present, you don't know the value of peace and of love.
Because until then, I still want to fix that fat.
That's fat. Where your treasure is.
That's the investment in that. And yet I know, I've learned that it's there present when I'm peaceful. It's like, oh, thank God that that's not important. That I found something that's, wow, thank you. Thank you. I'm very grateful for that. Thank you. That means like everything to me.
Yeah. God, how are we going to cross this gap? How are we going to cross this bridge? How are we going to have this so important experience so that these faith isn't necessary anymore? How can we set the addiction so we want to go to peace first? How are we going to do that? How are we going to go from this greedy ego for more attack and defense into choosing peace first? There has to come a time when you surrender. This book is full of it. This book is full of invitations to tease you, even fighting. As the workbook says, you won't like some of these lessons and you won't act and won't believe them and you'll hate some of them. Just read through them and let their effects prove themselves. Look at...
You know what's funny is because... What's funny...
Yes?
Is that I have an experience one day and the next day I'm reading a lesson that tells me what to do with that experience.
Nice! Isn't that great? It's like Jesus is walking there, taking your hand.
Yeah,
when you're doing.
Oh my God! This answers what my problem was yesterday.
God, I love that.
Where are we going?
I'm gonna take you to two places. See if we have time for this. Go to page 287 in the text. We don't come here very often, but this might be a nice time to do this. 287 in the text. And let's start with paragraph 2. Sharing perception with the Holy Spirit. And then David, whenever you're ready.
From the top?
No, it's paragraph 2, please.
Okay. The search for truth is but the honest searching out of everything that interferes with truth.
Whoa, okay. There's Course in Miracles. starting right out. We're looking for what's in the way. No, we're not looking for truth. Look, if truth is, it is always everywhere. You're not going to go earn it. You're not going to go make it. No, we're here to remove the blocks to the awareness of truth. Please continue.
Truth is. It can neither be lost, nor sought, nor found. It is there. Wherever you are, being within you. Yet it can be recognized or unrecognized, real or false to you. If you hide it, it becomes unreal to you because you hid it and surrounded it with fear. Under each cornerstone of fear on which you have erected your insane system of belief, the truth lies hidden. Yet you cannot know this, for by hiding truth and fear, you see no reason to believe that the more you look at fear, the less you see it, and the clearer what it conceals becomes.
Yet you cannot know this, for by hiding truth in fear, trusting the fear, right, instead of the truth, we go to the default, the old habit kicks in, we just go to the fear, okay? Here we go. So, by hiding truth in fear, you see no reason to believe that the more you look at fear, the less you see fear.
There goes four.
Right. And the clearer that what the fear conceals becomes, which is the truth. Oh, man. Do you see the twisted circle? Do you see that what we're talking about is the age-old truth the Course in Miracles is trying to pound into our heads to witness how our minds work, and that is this: as you give, you receive. As you give, you receive. As you give fear, you receive fear, therefore making fear even stronger. You shall get what you give. You shall reap what you sow, because you are a creator. You are an extension of the source. You always get what you want. That's your blessing and your curse right now. It's a curse in sometimes this nightmarish existence. But when you back away even a little bit, you can be grateful that it is you. It is you who are causing the difficulty. Also you who will bring you this wonderful, peaceful moment you're seeking. It is you. It is Julie who sat down in her office and said, I'm just going to be still for a moment. In my busiest day I've had in weeks, I'm not going to do anything for a whole minute. And this was her. She gave that to herself. And from that came a good day.
You know, what's really striking me from this whole conversation is the obvious... So what this just read about it getting more concealed and everything, but the on the other side of it, and like as I've been here talking and hearing this conversation about my experience, mm-hmm. it's striking me right now just how obvious, like, I can't even explain it, but like it's such a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It's so obvious that I evaded all of that pain and heartache I didn't need to have, and now I think, why do I let myself do that
Yes. All
the time?
Which is what Stefan was talking about.
But there's an obviousness on the other side when
yes,
you release.
That's right.
That is just, like, striking. But it's almost like I'm picking it up now instead of yesterday. But it's
Yes. Beautiful observation, Julie. You need to bust your ego every time. And this will be a struggle until it's not. It will be a struggle, Stefan, until it's not. And when the new habits are in place, it's not. You say, I forgot to be upset. That used to piss me off.
Funny.
Right?
What was I so angry about? What was I angry about?
I could have been angry, but I'm not. Oh, it's good. This has happened. This is true forgiveness, by the way. True forgiveness means... it's over before you worry about it. The effortful forgiveness says, I really don't want to be mad. I want to be peace instead of it. You're working it, okay? You're working it. True forgiveness is instantaneous with the miracle.
I see.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, because your being would have it that way, you will have it that way. Your being always gets what it wants. It's been busy trying to get separation. That's over. Let's read the next paragraph. Luann, would you read for us paragraph 3 on 287?
It is not possible to convince the unknowing that they knew.
That they know.
From their point of view, it is not true.
Yeah.
It is true because God knows it. These are clearly opposite viewpoints on what the unknowing are. To God, unknowing is impossible. It is therefore not a point of view at all, but merely a belief in something that does not exist. It is only this belief that the unknowing have, and by it they are wrong about themselves. They have defined themselves as they were not created. Their creation was not a point of view, but rather a certainty. Uncertainty brought to certainty does not retain any conviction of reality.
This is how we undo. In the next paragraph, it gets a little more heady, but it has a key sentence in it.
Can I just ask a quick clarifying? Is the unknowing, like the unknowing people, is that like us as egos?
Yes, us okay. Yes, that's correct. Unknowing of our God nature.
Okay.
Believing that attack works. Believing that fear is actually a protection and it'll get you what you want. These are the unknowing of love. The unknowing of sharing as having any value. The unknowing. Indeed. Indeed. All right, let's risk it. The next paragraph. It gets a little up there. Go, Sharon.
I should have passed.
Okay. Brother John, four.
Mm-hmm. Our emphasis has been on bringing what is undesirable to the desirable. What you do not want to what you do. You will realize that salvation must come to you this way if you consider what dissociation is. Dissociation is a distorted process of thinking whereby two systems of belief which cannot coexist are both maintained.
Okay, let me stop you right there for a second. Which is why the Course says, a couple of places, it says, okay, the hardest lesson you're ever going to learn is that the truth is true, comma, and nothing else is true. Dissociation says, well, the truth is true, and this other pet project I have is true too. The separated by body, and the there are beautiful things on the earth that are pure love. There are pure love here in this separated state. I mean, that's so nice. I mean, it's so hard not to deny that, right?
Okay.
Right. And spirit existence is the only truth there is. And that's true, too. Yeah, both of those.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Is it good? Do I like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's two for one. It just makes me feel even better. I'm sorry. Course in Miracles is a bit radical for that. It goes beyond holding both of those as true. And necessarily, as we're reading in this very paragraph, it's a trap to try to hold the truth true and the untrue true as well. Well, let me just keep my dear pets as pure spirits. They're reincarnated, ascended masters, my pets, didn't you know? And so they should be regarded as true love. That's just beautiful. I love it. But it's a trap. My children, it's a trap. My parents, it's a trap. It's a trap. Of course, the Miracles goes that far with your awakening, if you're willing to hear it. And this is one of the places where it kind of presses on that. It's essentially saying one is one, not two in any way, shape, or form.
Non-dualism.
Not dualism. In fact, it's pure non-dualism. We kind of have to add that pure non-dualism there.
So what about like electricity?
Yes.
I mean, there's physical realities.
Yes.
Are those not true?
Yes.
Like, is electricity... Can you rely? Is that not a truth? Is that not true, or does spirit trump?
Okay. All right. So
electricity and physics, and as we our limited knowledge of that.
Okay. So electricity, physics, geology, gold, lava, carbon,
gravity, stuff that we think we know.
Uh huh. Air.
It's all separate.
Uh-huh.
Right. Well, it's physical and spiritual, two different things.
It turns out that the physical, all things you can see, touch, feel, measure, all things with a separate identity, these are a dream in the vernacular of the Course. These are a dream. Now, watch me carefully. Watch the words here. They're a real dream. But dreams are not real. But they're a real dream. Don't you mistake that. I also say it this way. I say, you've all seen the movie Titanic with Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet.
Mm-hmm.
Did you? That was a real movie. But it wasn't true. But it's real. I have a copy at home. Electricity is real. Don't go denying there's no electricity. That's ridiculous. But it's not true.
Because it doesn't last.
It doesn't last forever.
It's not eternal.
It's not eternal. Lesson 133 teaches us this in that many words. Because I'm talking in a different level, folks. You have a spiritual identity. Your being is not affected by electricity. Your body can be killed by it or heated by it very nicely. Thank you very much. It's two levels. Turn to the front of the book, Miracle Principle 12. The first place it talks about this is right in the front of the book. Hold your finger here if we can possibly get back. No, we can drop this. Go to the front of the book. Page 3. Uh-oh. Look at Miracle Principle 12. You know, after you've read this book maybe twice, you could come and spend some time with the Miracle Principles. And you will not believe what's been sitting there the whole time that you wrinkled your nose at perhaps the first time you read the book. But look at Miracle Principle 12. Who's up to bat?
You.
Oh. Okay. Miracles are thoughts. Yeah. Thoughts can represent the lower or the bodily level of experience. Experience, there's your word. Or the higher or spiritual level of experience. There's that word again. Experiences, that is so close to knowledge. I'm saying it's a real dream. It's real. Electricity's real. But now, in a moment, I'm going to give you a context where you'll see that it's not true. You're going to have to wake up from that body, Bridget. I'm going to show you a paragraph where you can. At least you'll be challenged even further. Okay, next sentence. One set of thoughts, one level of thinking, makes the physical. Watch that word makes. M-A-K-E-S. Course in Miracles makes a distinction here. When you make something, it's not eternal. It doesn't last forever. It's not true. Makes, okay, one makes it physical, and the other thoughts, the higher thoughts, creates the spiritual. There are people who had a spiritual experience watching the movie Titanic. As the two of them at the very end of the movie, you remember, she's floating and Leonardo DiCaprio, there's not enough room in that floating piece of wood for both of them, so he's freezing in the water. Their love has bonded them through the whole, across the divide of financial differences and socioeconomic class. The love has joined them. They have the commonness as though they really wanted to be there for each other. And he did his best. He put her up on the wood so she could survive while he died in the cold water. And as he drifted off into the water, the last thing you saw him was his fingertips, and then he was just gone.
But for that last it was
beautiful
life preserver that never came.
Yeah, right. There, in all circumstances, even in the movies, when your third eye is open, your spiritual eye is open, there is a spiritual creation is happening all the time. But it is a different level. It's awakened mind. The awakened mind can find a spiritual experience, a spiritual creation in everything. Now, let's go challenge this a little further, right down to the paragraph. Turn, please.
So that's when they're representing the lower bodily level of experience.
Yes.
Can be thought of as symbols?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
You bet. You bet. They have become symbols because the real thing would be a true experience. Can't have that. When you're making the body, we need symbols now. A symbol of a being. A symbol of a love. A symbol of a life. A symbol of joy. The real joy is too inclusive and separation won't work. And material things have their existence by being different. That's why we call it material and physical. It is different and separate. And that's that whole game, that's the whole world. The only two discussions we have in the entire book is right here. There's two levels. There's two voices, two choices. That's it. Not a million. And only one of these choices is true. And according to this book, the spiritual is true. We, however, believe more quickly the material. So we're going to need some hand-holding to get to a spiritual being true instead of the material being true. That's why I told you, the most difficult lesson you will ever learn, just a quote from the book, the most difficult lesson you will ever learn is that the truth is true, comma, and nothing else is true. That's the hard part, is the second piece, see? Because you look in the mirror, you see the physical right away. And you step on something sharp and you hurt your foot right after you had this great meditation. What seems more real now? That bee sting or that great meditation of timelessness you had? Do you see the challenge? Right? Well, that's why we meet, and that's why the book is 1,300 pages, and that's why there's a paragraph like paragraph 1 on page 660, which we're going to read real quick, because it's so appropriate before we close the meeting. 660 now. We come here a lot. Okay, this is just in your face. Jesus is like in your face. David, did you read for us?
660?
660, paragraph 1.
Okay. Recognizing the Spirit. You see the flesh, but recognize the Spirit.
And then there's a period.
Yeah. There is no compromise between the two.
He takes out his hammer and hits the same nail again for emphasis. And yet again, please continue.
I'll read that again then. You see the flesh or recognize the Spirit. There is no compromise between the two. Period. If one is real, the other must be false. What is real denies its opposite. There's no choice in vision but this one. What you decide in this.
And really, the word you there should be like italicized or underscored. So punch the you. Yeah. What you decide.
What you decide in this determines all you see and think is real and hold as true. On this one choice does all your world depend. For here have you established what you are as flesh or spirit in your own belief. You choose flesh, you never will escape the body as your own reality. We have chosen that you want it so. But choose the Spirit, and all heaven bends to touch your eyes and bless your holy sight, that you may see the world of flesh no more, except to heal and comfort and to bless.
Thank you very much, A Course in Miracles. Let's have a circle. That post is pretty thick. It's still there. We have two symbols to consider. Flesh or spirit. Two symbols to consider. You choose one, you block the other's existence. You actually use one for both. You have to use your spirit to choose the flesh. And you always have what you choose. We are being called tonight to awaken to our constant, habitual use of symbols and how they become our reality. And A Course in Miracles is saying, when you choose spirit, you will immediately begin to hear your own being speak to you and comfort you and surround you, not only in your own felt sense, open to what you see as well. Because when you choose spirit, the Holy Spirit now sees for you. When you choose flesh, your eyeballs and your ego use your past to see for you. So you will get your past. That's just how it works. As you give, you receive. You're never a victim. So watch out what symbols you're following as you go forward this next week. One of them brings peace, and the other one doesn't. Choose peace. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, everybody.
Everything around this entire